Well, I spoke to the team Sunday and just tried to recalibrate, you know, where we're at right now. And in seven short days, we have certainly experienced the thrill and the joy of victory and the agony of defeat. So we've been on really both ends of the spectrum, which is, you know, offers a lot of emotion, a lot of feeling. And I wanted to make sure that our student athletes recognize that, you know, we are in the moment 2-1, 1-0 in the CAA with a road conference victory. And the most important thing for us here is to move forward, get recentered here and refocused on our next opponent, which is University of Penn. And the uniqueness here is that they have yet to play a game. So we've had three games on tape. You know, they have all that tape, and they've been studying what we're doing. We're kind of working through some of their film from a year ago. They have a new offensive coordinator. I believe he came in from Monmouth. We're looking at some of their film. So we're still somewhat early with our film study, but it's going to be important here this week that we move forward and make the corrections that need to be made and put together a really good week of practice so that we have that opportunity to get to 3-1, which would be a really, really good place for this team to be. I'll take questions at this time from the media.
When you look back at last week's game, was there anything that you picked up on second viewing, something that you want to correct this week?
Well, I viewed it 5 or 6 times, you know, so it's kind of like every time you watch it, you kind of see some different things, you know, and you kind of recognize, you know, the moments in the game that might have made a difference in, you know, the momentum of the game. I really felt early on our defense was physical and was stout. We held up very well in the inside run, forced them to run the ball to the perimeter a little bit, and that's where they got their yardage. Offensively, we did not protect our quarterbacks very well, kind of forced us to throw under pressure and under duress. And then obviously with the decision there with Nolan out there, Nolan was able to avoid the rush and extend the play and make some plays, you know, down the field. So there's a lot to look at. There's a lot to work on. I did feel that holistically our special teams played well. We did some good things in the kicking game. Obviously the block punt for the safety with Luke Frederick and Braden Bros and Andrew Pulowski and Matt Palmer, they were kind of involved in that play there. That was a big play. Jordan Townsend had the big punt return. Made I think we're 2-for-2 on our field goals, you know, so there were some really positive things, I think, in the kicking game that we can continue to build upon. But, you know, gave them too many opportunities and did not capitalize on our opportunities to ever really make it a contested football game.
Coach Al, how are you looking at the quarterback situation for this week? Any different or?
Well, we're going to meet tonight as a staff and, you know, chart our course. This is the common method for us, you know, here on a Monday night. You kind of, you know, we just got the injury report back, so that's something you have to process every week. And you're kind of just getting your first full taste of the opponent. We're doing that here all day today. Yesterday we spent most of the day wrapping up North Dakota State and then kind of introduction to Penn. So tonight at the staff meeting tonight, we'll look at how do we want to play this game? What strategies do we want to play within this game? What's the best course or path for us to victory in this game? That's what we do every week. And then what personnel will give us the best opportunity to do that? Now, if you're asking me if I made a decision on who's going to be our starting quarterback this week, I have not. But that is where our conversations will go tonight. And, you know, and that's the position that obviously and rightfully so needs and wants an answer. But there's other positions we're going to have the exact same conversations, and there just won't be as much attention on those decisions.
Do you feel like Will Knight has, you know, earned some more carries, that kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's I think that, you know, we're all, you know, avid, you know, supporters and fans of the sport, you know. And I think the one thing to understand with a younger player in your system, there's a lot to learn. You know, so whatever position that is that you're saying or talking about, you know, there's only a certain percentage of that offense that you can really feel that person is able to master early in his career, early in his timeline. And those things factor in a lot in all of these decisions, you know. And sometimes at running backs, the biggest thing is pass protection. And it's not the ability, it's kind of the knowledge of what do the protections mean and how do the different protections apply to me and what are my reads in the pass protections and am I a dual read, am I a free release, is it a slide protection, a man protection, you know. So you can't just run guys in the game and call plays and them not really know exactly what to do on that play based on a variety of different looks that they might get. So that's why sometimes you see coaches kind of like spoon feeding some of the younger players and they get a little taste and then you kind of build on that, you know, from week in and week out. But it also, I think, is fair justification sometimes as to why you just don't go full scale with the new guy. He looks so good. If he played every play, he might not look that good. Because a lot of other things go into playing that position.
How does his skill set compare to the other guys that you have, Robinson and Woody?
Yeah, it's a great they complement each other really, really well. Will hasn't been with us as long. Will, in some ways, I think, is kind of that combination of those other two. Andre's got quick feet, good vision, and he's big and he's physical. You know, he can hit up in there. Dejon's physical, but he's not real big. So he's kind of got that vision and that explosion and that burst. And then Will kind of has both. You know, he's got a big lower body and good power inside, but he's got good vision and he can make that one cut and accelerate. And So there's a lot there to be excited about, his role will continue to increase as we get deeper into the season.
I remember you had said in preseason, you know, the first week was really good, and the second week, you know, you had a lot of learning to do.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, still that stuff going on.
That's right. And I think I remember saying that, and I kind of remember exactly why I said it. And then, you know, in our core run game, you know, it's second nature to him. You know, he's, you know, kind of born to do that. And then some of the other things, the pass concepts, there's a lot that goes into that, the protections. And as you're building and building and building your menu, they hear that base zone run play a little less often. And now there's a lot more things on their plate. But he's exactly where he needs to be. I'm not trying to undermine that at all. He's exactly where he needs. He's exactly where I want him to be. Okay, so now it's just about moving forward.
Are there any players that you thought did a good job at the linebacker position, have filled in for some snaps, and how you can other guys were able to see?
Yeah, you know, it was, and again, you know, we watched the film so many times, you know, and so one time you're watching it for, you know, your structure. Are you defensively, are we structured right? Are we aligned correctly? Are we deploying our people the right way versus formations? And then the next time you're watching it for, you know, the offensive scheme. All right, are we fitting the schemes correctly? Are we having the right proper leverage? Are we reading run pass? And then you watch it again, now you're watching strictly personnel. What are the players doing within this system? And you know, we did have a number of guys play inside linebacker for us here on Saturday. It was a young group to start with Drew Nichols and with Johnny Buchanan. Liam Traynor got a decent amount of work at the mic, did a solid job. He's got a bright future. We know that Javar Garrett started the game at Will. He did some things well. He did other things where he got exploited a little bit. Maybe lack of repetition, not in the system as much. Matt Palmer went in there. Matt's a totally different kind of linebacker. Matt made some good run and hit plays in the game. Maybe isn't quite as big or as physical at the point of attack. So there were a number of different guys that were forced into action. They all played hard. They all tried hard. They all care. They're all really young, and they're all committed to getting better. So I feel good about that. There were some snaps defensively where I counted, you know, 10 underclassmen out there at a time. You know, Cam sometimes would be the only senior, and there was a time when Cam was out and Brandon Hall was in there. Then he was the only senior for a segment of the game. So we just got to keep getting better. I think we're committed to doing that. And I did say earlier on one of the teleconferences that, you know, when you play a team as good as they are, and they are really, really good, you know, they tend to exploit your weaknesses and shine light on the things that you need to work on. And they certainly afforded us the opportunity to go back and work on some things on all three phases of our game.
Coach, what do you like about Chi-Chi? How's he gotten better the last couple of years?
Well, you know, Chi-Chi has an awful lot of talent, and he is explosive. He's a good route runner. He sees and catches the ball well. We didn't have many opportunities Saturday to truly, you know, sit in the pocket and deliver the ball deep down the field, you know, and he made one big play in the game, which was off of somewhat of a, I'll call it a broken play, an extended play when Nolan avoided the pressure and made a deep throw down the field. But Chi-Chi's very capable. It's like with all of our guys, though, it's like I say this a lot, and I'm not saying this to Chi-Chi or about Chi-Chi, but I say this a lot. It's like one or two plays does not make a good game. I mean, when Townsend came off the field after that kickoff return, he had a great kickoff return, big momentum play in the game, kind of got us right back in it. We go down there, we get the ball on their 33. We go there and score a touchdown. I mean, you're really right back in almost a square game, you know, heading into the second quarter. He came right off the field. I said, come here, Jordan, come here. Understand, one big play does not make this a good game for you. You got to continue to make plays for us and make good decisions for us. So I'd say that to anybody. I mean, you know, we see a big play, but what's the rest of the body of work? You know, what's the rest of that body of work look like? And that's true for all of our players, you know, for them to be able to. And sometimes with a running back, you might see a stat line, but you might not know he missed three blitz pickups and was responsible for three sacks. That was not the case with Will.
Right.
That was not the case with Will. But that's part of it, too. And we, as the coaches, certainly recognize the importance of both.
Chi-Chi's clearly, I mean, he's a more productive guy now. He's, you know, he's elevated his game, I would assume.
Yeah, we're finding more and more things for him to do, and we are more and more aware of maybe getting him some matchups and using him in different ways and taking advantage of his talents. His speed, his explosive ability.
What are some ways that you can kind of get off to a faster start, especially on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, you know, there's some, you know, kind of common theories that, you know, we've all looked at and have done. I said earlier today on a teleconference how this past week was the first week that we went to scripting the start of the game. We haven't done that in quite a while. So, I mean, a lot of people do that. A lot of people will script the first 8, 10, 12, 16 plays and kind of follow this script. Now, the value of that is you're practicing those plays in the same sequence that you're thinking about calling them. So they're out there practicing on Thursday. They'll walk through on Friday. It's in rhythm, same thing, whatever you get in the game. And there's that recall, that familiarity as to what that's going to look like. We made the decision this past week to go to that, to try to address the reality that we weren't starting very fast on offense. Didn't work, okay? So therein is not the answer for us. I mentioned earlier today about being a little bit too predictable early on in the game. You know, as the game goes on, we become a little more open. We become a little more willing to use multiple formations and personnel groupings. And there could be something in that point there. What happens a lot of times in the game is offensively, you want to see how they're going to deploy their defense to your formations. So a lot of times early in the game, you want to go through some of your base formations to kind of see what their adjustments are going to be. Okay, and then in that, maybe you're not quite as open or creative early in the game because you're just trying to see how they're going to align and deploy their personnel. What's their game plan look like when you go to this? You saw here in this game, and I tell you, in hindsight, I give them a lot of credit. Early on, they used two timeouts, North Dakota State did. And, you know, if you're sitting there as a fan, you kind of say, just wasted two timeouts. But we were in formations that they were not ready to defend. So instead of running the play and saying, whatever happens, happens, they used the timeout to avoid getting caught in a situation like that. So that's all part of the chess match a little bit as you do things. And ultimately, focus and execution really allow you to get off to a faster start. And our focus and our execution needs to be better regardless of what the play call would be.
What would be the advantage to not scripting like you had done in the past?
Well, the advantage to not scripting is when you're scripting, let's say it's first and 10, and we run an outside zone and they run a blitz and we get hit in the backfield. Now it's second and 14. Well, the second play on your script doesn't really match second and 14. So that's the reason that same thought, you know, you might run that outside zone to get a first down, then you're back to a first down play, but the second play on your script might not necessarily fit that play call. So on third down, you usually fall off the script anyway. You just kind of go to your third down calls. This is the order we're going to call them in. But that would be the downside. Then you kind of feel like you're handcuffed a little bit as a play caller, and you can't use your judgment or your instincts to kind of say, this is what they're doing. This is what I want to do, but no, we scripted the first, et cetera. We've done it both ways. I'm not really saying either one is right, wrong, or indifferent, but you know, these are the right questions to be asking, and these are all the conversations we're having. I think North Dakota State did have a little something to do with our inability to get off to a fast start this particular week.
We're going to be at the team for week four that has not played a game yet. How does the preparation differ? Obviously, you mentioned you have film from last year. Is there anything else besides watching last year's film and the guys in the mix that you do, or is it all just kind of based on last year's film?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I have done, and then I'm doing it this week, is kind of reshifting the focus really back to us. So you're doing that for a number of different reasons. One, because of the outcome we just experienced. We need to get better. We need to focus on us. We need to get things correct in certain areas. But in addition to that, I don't know as much about them. You know, so I think that both of those things are in play here for us and for me this week to kind of focus back in on us, you know, our improvement, our fundamentals, our techniques, our ability to go out there and play a more complete game. You know, so I think that's the best way to address that. I do think, though, that we're going to have enough film. We just got to make sure we're making the right decisions as to what film we're going to put value on. Because there's a lot of different ways you can go about looking at that and doing that when you don't actually see what they are doing this year. And the reality is, in today's day and age, you know they have our film. So, like, you don't even ask where'd you get it or how'd you get it or who sent you that film. There's no film exchange. We haven't sent them our film. Okay, but you know they have our film. So we have to just operate under that reality that they have gotten our film, and they're kind of studying our tendencies or looking at our personnel. They understand what we're going to do when we send certain guys in and out of the game, what formations we're going to be in. We won't quite have that on our side. Now, I'd rather play three full football games and have been taken to task in three, you know, triple overtime game and haven't been in that moment. Than to have not played a game.
Coach, that you know, some people care say you shouldn't run that big field goal they ran. You know, is that a big deal at all?
Well, it kind of is. I have a it kind of is. I recognize that the person at the end of the game or towards the end of the game who is at a deficit is not in control. Okay, so I know that from the beginning. We're down whatever we're down. I am not in control of the end of this football game. All right, so in that moment, I was a little disappointed that that play was called as it was. And, you know, in my mind, I've been doing this a long time. So I was going to say something to Coach after the game. Coach, I didn't really know why there. But yet there was another moment later in the game where he didn't call timeout and he could have. All right, so in my position, I had no grounds for anything. Now, I've had guys come to me in the past in certain games and say, Coach, I mean, my gosh, I wanted to work on my 2 minute. And I'm like, hey, you know, you're down by 28. You don't have the prerogative to work on your 2 minute. I mean, you shouldn't call timeout when I'm trying to end the game. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I've been there before. I'm trying to end the game. I ran the same play 5 times in a row because I'm trying to end the game, and you're calling timeout. You know, so when you're in the position I was in, you have no control. You're at the mercy of. I didn't feel that that was the right call to make, faking it there. If you're going to go for it, just go for it. But at the end, you know, he certainly didn't call a timeout on fourth down and make us punt the football out of our end zone, you know, which he could have done. You know, so live and learn. And it did give him a touchdown at the end, and it did extend the lead. Those were two things that were significant, I think, when it was all said and done.
From what you've seen so far of Penn and that stuff, but kind of personnel-wise, you know, what do you think they provide as far as challenges for your team next week?
Well, I think the first thing that, like, I would do, and I have done, is I look at it from a much broader perspective, okay? You know, what league are they in? What's their league look like? Where are they in the league? And this is a league I have great respect for. The Ivy League is the best-kept secret out there in FCS football. I've been saying that for a while. Look at their recruiting classes. Look at the kind of talent that they're bringing into their programs. Look at the RPIs, the different ratings and matrices, indexes with the Ivy League schools, Princeton, Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth. I mean, these teams are all up there in the top 20, you know, consistently in the last couple of years. And Penn has certainly been in the upper echelon. Okay, I think right now they're kind of right in that upper middle, you know, preseason ranking, final rankings from last year. So when you're able to look at it like that, I'll say this, okay? The fourth place team in the Ivy last year was Yale. Yale finished fourth, Penn finished fifth, okay? Yale beat Maine 28-7. Okay, Maine ran the table in this league. I mean, Maine won this league. You know, so, like, you better hear that, right? You better hear that before you hear anything else. You better hear that. Okay, now we'll talk about their personnel. Okay, so sometimes you work backwards because you don't have any film from this year. So who have they lost? Because you're kind of looking at who they lost. They lost an all-conference nose guard. They lost an all-conference inside backer, an all-conference outside backer. They lost one of their starting safeties. They have 7 or 8 returners on defense. Offensively, they only lose 3 guys. Left tackle, He was an all-conference player. The one receiver was really good, and they had one other receiver they lost. Their tailback was all-conference. He's back. Four of the five in the offensive line are back. Tight ends are all back. Both quarterbacks are back. So you kind of, you know, work from there. And, you know, I'm a little further into it than maybe I'm making it sound like I am right now. I've watched quite a bit of film. But we won't really put a whole lot of sense into their depth, their roster, their personnel until later today and tonight. And we'll try to decide how they're going to use their personnel based on whatever information we have.